There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Here we go into hour number three of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you be a part of the show. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is the number to call the show. 844-326-3663 is the number to text the show this morning. Give us a call, get on the air, give us a text, get it read on the air, or utilize the Ray Memorial Hotline, open for you right now. Go to the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it, put it on all of your digital devices. And once you do, go to the Fan Upstate page. And there are two things that you need to know about if you go to the Fan Upstate page on the Odyssey app. The first is, again, the Ray Memorial Hotline. In the middle of that page, you're going to see a button that says leave a voice message. You click on the button that says leave a voice message and you leave a voice message up to 60 seconds. We get it immediately and we can edit it down and play it on the air.
You know what they should do? They should listen for, I mean, you should listen to the entire show, but you should listen to the show for at least an hour.
That is the second thing I was going to tell you about. Because if you download the free Odyssey app, if you go to the Fan Upstate page, and if you listen to the station via the Odyssey app for 1 hour.
Listen, we prefer you listen to us for an hour. I mean, but if you have to, if you can't listen to us because you're really busy, you can listen to Wire to Wire.
You can listen to Wire to Wire from 3 to 7 with Cole Bryson and Diesel, or as we like to call them, Cole Bryan and Kerosene. You can listen to The Rich Eisen Show, which airs from noon to 3. You can listen to Writer Than You, which airs right after we get off the air up till noon. We got a plethora of entertainment available here at the Fan Upstate. Whatever you choose to listen to, if you listen to the Fan Upstate on the free Odyssey app for 1 hour, you are going to be entered into our Slam Dunk in Vegas sweepstakes. It's a pretty simple game. Go to the Odyssey app for free, log in, and listen to the Fan Upstate for at least 1 hour. One lucky winner of our Slam Dunk in Vegas competition will score a trip to Vegas that includes round-trip airfare and accommodations for four, plus $5,000 per person. That is $20,000 in total. It is the ultimate experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championship. You're getting a flight to Vegas. You're getting accommodations for $4,000 and $5,000. And you enter by going to the Audacy app, AUDACY, logging in and listening to the Fan Upstate for 1 hour. It really is that simple. You're already listening anyway. So why not try to win yourself an incredible Vegas vacation and 20 G's to split with you and your family, or you and your three best buds, or whatever you want. Go to the Audacy app. It is free. Put it on all your digital devices. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Like that page. Listen to that station, our station, for 1 hour to be entered to win into our Grand Slam in Vegas competition. Or excuse me, our Slam Dunk in Vegas competition. Those are different sports things. Both very good things. But our Slam Dunk in Vegas competition. The Audacy app. And also utilize the Ray Memorial Hotline while you're there. Leave us that voice message. Get your voice on the show. You have the opportunity to become a legend. If you leave a great voice message, you may just become enshrined. Kane utilized the Ray Memorial Hotline and straight up came up with a second name to the show. The Rod Brown Show. Just like that. It's the Audacy app. And it's free just for you. All right, I want to get some more clips in here. Yesterday, we talked about technology in the NFL. I said, look, I think for me, if there was one takeaway of the AFC title game, aside obviously from the narratives about the Chiefs, aside obviously from the narratives about Josh Allen and the Bills, aside from the realization that if the Bills don't get rid of Sean McDermott, they are never going to beat Kansas City. Aside from all those things, the biggest football takeaway for me is that we are at a point now where it is inexcusable that the NFL is not utilizing technology that does not even need to replace referees to get calls right. Because the biggest controversy out of that game was obviously the spot on the Dalton Kincaid third down play and the spot on the Josh Allen fourth down play that half of America thought that he got a first down and half of America thought that he did not. Doesn't matter what you thought. What matters is one referee said it was a first down. The other referee said it was not and overruled him. It wasn't a first down. Chiefs take over. Chiefs win the ball game. Florio.
Wasn't that also reviewed, if I recall?
It was not reviewed, if I recall correctly.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Even with a review.
I do recall being a review, so okay, it wasn't that guy and that guy. It was another guy who went under the hood and reviewed it.
Let's say it was.
Conveniently forgotten.
Let's say it was. Okay, it was. It was reviewed. At the end of the day, the argument is still raging about whether or not, even after review, the spot was correct. Because again, I promise you, I've seen every angle available. I am talking down to watching social media cell phone videos from fans in the stands of that play. And I got to tell you, there's a bunch of angles that look like he got a first down and a bunch of angles that look like he didn't. Okay? I see it. I see the problem. And so I made the argument yesterday. Look, put a chip in the front of the ball, put a chip in the back of the ball. We got chips in everything in athletics nowadays. Soccer players have a chip worn in their jersey that tells you exactly how many steps they took, exactly how many feet they ran, exactly what speeds they were running. We got chips. I got a wife that's got an AirTag on her laptop. So that if her laptop ever goes missing at home or abroad, she can just pop open her iPhone, click on the, yo, where the bleep is my computer app. And that thing will not only tell her exactly where it's located, but if she requests it, it will beep so that she can find it if it's buried under stuff. It's pretty impressive. Mike Florio yesterday was on the Rich Eisen show. Correct. Correct. I don't need to be validated. I like when I am. There's one of the biggest talking names in football saying what I said Monday morning. Certainly what I leaned into yesterday. This needs to have been done.
Where does he work?
He is with NBC/Pro Football Talk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just for those people who don't know who he is.
Mike Florio. If you don't know Florio, okay, understandable. But Florio is one of, when it comes to the voices in the NFL, is one of the loudest as far as the people who, like, deep dive the NFL, right? Like, are into it.
So you're not talking about volume. You're talking about listen to.
Yes.
All right.
I'm not talking about people who watch it on Sundays. I'm talking about
people. No, what I'm saying, you said loudest. Because he didn't sound very loud.
Not in terms of screaming. Okay. I'm saying loudest in terms of most prevalent names in the conversation. That's why he's on the Eisen Show. So, I don't need to be validated, but I like it when I am. Yes. Because we're past the point. We're past the point where we should be having conversations about how tough it is.
I'm not trying to fight here, but I think there's a statistic to back this up. But this has been done for as long as he talked about, and it hasn't changed. Do you think your voice and his voice and the two or three other voices who are saying this are going to make a difference and get a change?
When things change in the NFL, they change for one reason and one reason alone. Audience numbers. That's it. That's it. When you ask yourself, and I've used this as my primary example because you don't need another one. When you ask yourself, when the world was shutting down, how was it that when people were not allowed in buildings, the NFL was still having a season during the COVID pandemic? And the answer is because it is not the stands being full that makes the NFL go. Now, you know, there's a bunch of good reasons to have the stands full. If you're an owner, that's all money that comes direct to you, and mostly. When the stands are full, it certainly makes for a better television product, right? You've all tuned in to watch Carolina Panther games when there's 10,000 people in that crowd. It's an empty stadium. Even across the TV audience, it just doesn't have the same juice. I believe, and this is just my speculation and opinion, I believe that there is enough, we'll say, controversy going on right now. I said yesterday the NFL has an image problem. I stand by that. I believe that there is enough controversy happening right now. I genuinely think you're going to see a slight, and I'll tell you why in a second, slight dip in the Super Bowl viewership this year. Slight dip. I think there's going to be a lot of people done. I think there will be a large number of people who say, I'm out, I'm done with the Chiefs, I'm not watching this anymore. There will be a large number of them who are going to tune in anyway just to see if the Chiefs accomplish
all
history.
All right, unless I'm wrong, unless what I saw was wrong, I think I just saw that the Chiefs-Bills was like one of the highest rated games of non-Super Bowl of all time.
Right.
Yeah. So
because of the narrative.
So it had nothing to do with the teams playing. It was the narrative that the Chiefs cheat. Why would that make people not want to watch?
No. The narrative was, can Josh Allen do it? Especially at a point in time when I'm going to say this lovingly, I don't care. And I'm not, when I say you, I'm using the royal you, not you specifically, Lonzo. I don't care if you think the narrative's wrong. The narrative's the narrative. It could be wrong. I'll even say it's wrong for the sake of discussion.
I don't think the narrative had anything to do with viewership. And I think you're completely wrong about that. We've already discussed about a group of people that is watching football now, specifically watching the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're going to be coming out and watching the Super Bowl, and that's going to keep the numbers inflated. So there's no way to tell if the numbers really dropped or not because of all the Swifties. And you can act like that's not going to factor in, but it absolutely will.
I'm not
will.
Acting like it's not going to factor in. I literally said, I think you're going to see a downshift. I didn't say a massive one.
I thought
one.
You didn't like that word.
I said a
literally
downshift. I love it literally when people use it correctly, as I did. Okay? I think you're going to see a downtick.
Is it going to be massive? Is it going to be a 12% drop like college football experience? No. I think it's going to be one, though, because I think there is Chiefs fatigue, and I think a large number of people are going to walk away because of the Chiefs fatigue and the refs and all that are going to be. But let's also point out, this is the third year in a row that the Swifties, or what, second year in a row the Swifties have been involved. They were there last year, too. So that number is figured into last year's audience as well as this year's audience. We already had a Swiftie Super Bowl last year. They'll be coming out next year. So I think there will be a tick down because of the fatigue. The Bills game.
Or maybe there'll be a tick down because they're playing Philadelphia. Maybe people just think Philadelphia is kind of boring because Jalen Hurts is kind of boring. And maybe they're going, well, the real Super Bowl happened when they played Buffalo. Maybe people are thinking that way. Not saying I'm thinking that way. And I'm not saying that you're thinking that way. I'm just saying that maybe some people are thinking that way. There is no way, as far as that goes, you're speculating on what you think the reasons are. We'll find out after it happens.
As somebody who is chronically online, to his own detriment, my health and well-being, I don't care about it very clearly. As somebody who is chronically online, and it was tapped in because, hey, what America's talking about is what I have to talk about. As somebody who's chronically online, and we also know that when social media develops a we're not doing this thing narrative, sometimes it still happens anyway. The narrative right now is people are tired of the Chiefs. That's just the narrative. You can say it's wrong, and that's
fine. It's a narrative for your algorithm, for where you tune in on the internet. We both know algorithms
are figured out. Buddy, I checked the national trends.
Buddy.
People at large are tired of the Chiefs.
Uh-huh. We'll see.
I'm just telling you that.
We will see.
So, I ultimately think that you are going to see it tick down a little bit. And if the NFL, as it does, makes its decisions based on television viewership, if there's a track back, and if the NFL does connect it to, we have an officiating problem, people are being turned off by the officiating, that's where changes happen. And this is something that you can do to make a change that the fans can latch on and go, great, they made a change, that doesn't include drastically changing the game at all. All the quarterback protection rules are because it's empirically shown that if starting quarterbacks are not playing, ratings come down. It has been empirically shown that there is a trajectory, and it may be correspondence and not directly connected, but as head injuries have increased and people have become more aware, people have started to walk away from football. Less kids are playing football. So they're doing more to protect players, to make it look like a safer game. These are all ratings things. If the ratings come down for the crown jewel of the Super Bowl, and they decide that it is linked to Chiefs fatigue and ref fatigue, that's what inspires this change. We'll see if that plays out or not. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Buddy. I like that word a lot. Buddy.
It's the first time you called me buddy.
Listen,
in anger.
Buddy. I want to clean up that last segment. I want to be very clear. There are things that I say on the air that I'm very confident in. Jane Daniels winning Rookie of the Year. Super confident in that. Put my money where my mouth is, metaphorically speaking. Nope. Yeah, metaphorically speaking. Can't literally. I mean, I guess you could literally put your money where your mouth is, but don't do that because money's gross. You don't know where those things have been. Actually, you probably know where some of them have been, and that's the reason not to put your money where your mouth is, literally. Metaphorically, put my money where my mouth is.
Unless you're into that kind of stuff, then you're probably okay with
amen.
It.
They make shots. You should take them. There are things I say on the show, on the air, on every show that I'm on, that I very much believe to be true. There are things I say on the air that I acknowledge are speculation. It is nothing more than speculation. The Super Bowl audience, and my, I don't want to say belief, but prognostication, buddy, that the audience number is going to be down from last year this year is one of those things. I could be very wrong. America tunes into sports for three reasons. To watch great athletic competition, I truly believe, is the third most important reason that Americans tune in. We want to watch sports. We love sports. We love good competition. That is a reason. I believe it is the least impactful reason. The second reason that we tune in to watch sports is history. The first most, the one I believe is the primary driver, is drama. We love drama. You say whatever you want. We love drama. This is why reality television, even though we all know it's scripted, every single year is the most watched genre of television. This is why full-grown men love professional wrestling, because it is a fun way for us to enjoy some drama, but mix it up with a little punching in the face. Woo! For sure. We love drama. We also love to watch and be able to say that we saw something special, especially if it is something special that people have never seen before, like a three-peat in the Super Bowl. We've never seen it. So I do suspect that if this was not Kansas City going for a three-peat, which is the history, I do think, and again, I base this predominantly on two things. Number one, the social media environment. And number two, my listening to other shows and having conversations both on and off the air with hosts of other shows nationally. I think there is definitely a Chiefs fatigue. Nick Costos from You Better You Bet on the BetQL Network, who I love, Nick. He's a good dude. Nick calls it, what after I say this, I'm assuming Lonzo's going to call it, CDS, Chiefs Derangement Syndrome.
Yes, I've heard that. Also, I'm playing the Bell of Doom because these are doomsayers, which you are, you're on the edge of being a doomsayer.
My honest to Megatroid genuine opinion.
Nice.
Thank you. My honest to Megatroid, honest, genuine opinion is that there is a legitimate Chiefs fatigue amongst football fans. I think that Chiefs fatigue is exacerbated by the national belief that the Chiefs, again, true or not, is irrelevant. But a national belief by a large, I don't know if it's majority, but it's large enough that I'm comfortable saying close enough.
All right. I just want to say that I hate the Patriots, okay? I don't say hate a whole lot, but I hate the Patriots. When the Patriots were in the Super Bowl, I still watched for a couple reasons. One, I wanted to see them lose, which didn't happen as often as I would have liked. And two, because it's the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl is an event. And even if you are just a family who celebrates the Super Bowl like we do, and we make wings and there's dip and stuff just to watch the game, and it doesn't matter who's playing, we're still going to watch. Or maybe I'm someone who tunes in to watch the commercials, which this year, so far, they haven't put a bunch of teasers and things out, which was just stupid for commercials. Don't tease a commercial. Surprise us on the day of the Super Bowl. There are a lot of people out there who I believe watch the Super Bowl because it's an event and it's a family gathering and it's something that they do every year. How many people at a Super Bowl party actually watch the Super Bowl when you go to a Super Bowl party?
I'm not arguing with anything you're saying. The reason that I am
very... I'm sorry, I forgot to emphasize with...
Buddy, the reason I say this is because all of those things which are true, they are factored into the Super Bowl ratings that I am comparing other Super Bowls against. Everything you're saying about this year's Super Bowl, I agree with you entirely. I also know that those things are true about last year's Super Bowl and the Super Bowl before that and the Super Bowl before that and the Super Bowl dating back to Michael Jackson's halftime show. It's true about all of them. And so when I say the ratings
decrease...
Still
the best of all time, by the way. That's why you suggested it.
When I say the ratings decrease in the Super Bowl, this is not to say that people like... my mom watches NFL football. People that, people like my buddy's wife who throws this Super Bowl party that we go to most years. She's not a big NFL person, but she's counted in the Super Bowl ratings. She don't watch any of the games, but she's counted in the Super Bowl ratings. My thought is, and again, I started this segment off, and I will say it again here. My thought is, I could very well be wrong. We may pop in here next week and have an immediate statement from Nielsen that says this was the most watched Super Bowl of all time. In which case, then I will turn and say, all of you social media people were lying, just like all of you were lying when you said, I'm done watching the NFL because of Colin Kaepernick or players taking knees or whatever. You lied. And that's okay. That's okay. We all say things to make ourselves feel one way in a moment and then act a different way when the time to act is upon us. It happens. It's a human trait.
Real quick, the Kansas City Chiefs win Sunday over Buffalo was the most watched AFC championship game in the history.
Again, I'm not saying these are.
Here's what I'm asking, okay? If that is true, if this is the most watched game, AFC championship game in history, why would you, I'm talking about you, Rob Brown, why would you automatically think there's going to be a drop off in the Super Bowl after the most watched AFC championship game? And what makes you think suddenly all those people who watch that are not going to watch the Super Bowl?
What makes me think it is the immediate reaction after people tuned in after what happened in the Houston game, which got people going, here we go again. Again, whether they're right or wrong is irrelevant. After the Houston game, people started going, here we go again.
By the way, really quick. The year before, Chiefs versus Baltimore was the highest viewed before this year.
What happened in the Texans game had people looking and going, okay, here we go again. And so they tuned into the AFC championship game because people thought, if, especially when the NFL made a big deal out of putting a crew chief on there, that Patrick Mahomes had a losing record when he was the official. And Josh Allen, who has been viewed as the only hope against Patrick Mahomes, at least in the AFC, people tuned in to see if it was finally going to be the downfall of the Chiefs, and it wasn't. And now people, again, only what I can tell you based on my interaction with them, now people are looking and going, the Super Bowl feels like an inevitability. It feels like an inevitability. And because of that, I think that's why some folks are going to step away. You're still going to have a bunch of people that are tuned in. A lot of people are going to tune in to see history. A lot of people are going to tune in because Taylor's there. A lot of people are going to tune in just because they don't watch football, but hey, it's a Super Bowl party and here I am, so I'm going to watch it. But I feel like a lot of people are going to step out for all of that reasoning as well, because the AFC Championship game gave you a feeling of inevitability. There is no one left that can stop what is happening if you believe the conspiracy theory that the chefs are getting help. Mark Bonetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joins us next to talk rabbit hockey on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if you push that twice, it pauses. I got to remember that.
I mean, you might want to write it down for next time for sure.
I finger stuttered. I hate when that happens.
Happens to the best of us. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 8:41 in the morning, and at this time on Wednesdays, we talk a little local hockey. And there's nobody I like talking hockey more with. Heck, even when I'm up at the arena, I always spend a little extra time talking hockey with the voice of the squad, the mouth of the team. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear him every time you tune in to listen to Greenville Swamp Rabbit Hockey. He is the voice of the Bunnies, Mark Bonetti, joining us here on the line. What's up, Playboy?
Well, we are officially underway on our two-week road trip. It's technically a seven-game swing, but when we come back, it's a random one-off 2 hours down the road against Atlanta. But it all starts tonight against the Cincinnati Cyclones, off to Indy shortly after, and then an entire week in the Sunshine State against the Everblades. So quite a long way away from home, but we're super excited for the opportunity and the challenge ahead.
You know, I wanted to ask about that, Mark Bonetti, because you do have a game on the road at Cincinnati, and then y'all are gone for a couple of weeks. I wish you the best, bud, because that's a lot. What is that experience, being out that long, away from home that long, away from the well that long? What's that like for the team? And I'm not just talking about on the ice during games, but as far as picking a roster of guys that are coming with you, equipment guys, having to deal with all that. This isn't an NHL team where you guys have a private charter jet to fly back and forth. What goes into a local professional hockey team's efforts to pull off a successful long road trip like this?
Well, it's certainly a heck of an operation. And when you really think about it, you basically have to pack your life away for 2 weeks. Because to your point, you know, it's not like you can just send someone out to replenish you or you come back home to replenish. We're gone the entire time on this trip. And there are some teams who, in a trip like this, if they find a window to come back and reload or whatever, then they do. But it just seems more seamless to take as much as you need possible and then figure it out the rest of the way out there. Tony Denzer, our equipment guy, has done a heck of a job putting together everything that we've needed on an equipment side. River Pease, our video coach, hockey administrator, did a great job at helping coordinate where we were going, how we were doing it. I booked flights and things and got on the horn with that. Coach Mountain and Coach Dada have put together itineraries to make sure that we're engaged and dialed the entire trip. And there's no surprises at that point, because that's the last thing you need on a trip of this magnitude. So, you know, we're excited. We're, you know, it's a long way away, Rob, right? Like, you know, it's tough because it's not like you can see at the end of the weekend, oh yeah, we're going to come back home, take a breather, get back out there. No, we're gone the whole time. So there is a bit of a strain there, but that's where teams really come together. You hear that old cliche, teams come together when they're on the road. And so this is an opportunity for us to hang out, spend some more time away from the rink with each other and, you know, build some of that camaraderie up, because we're certainly going to need it down the stretch.
Yeah, without a doubt. And obviously a kind of an interesting weekend last weekend for the Bunnies, Mark Bonetti, because you had back-to-back homers against the Reading Royals, a team you haven't seen in 8 years. Came up on the short end of the stick in both of those contests. On the other hand, electrifying nights at the Wells, and you really, like, you got a glimpse of what hockey in the upstate is and can be. So, like, it was kind of a bittersweet weekend a little bit, but you didn't get the results. And at the end of the day, that's what Kyle Mountain and the boys are looking for, are those results, especially at the crib. Do you feel like this is a good time for the team to get away from the noise, get away from the comfort zone, get away from home, get out on the road, and kind of have to lean on each other for an extended period of time to maybe build it up a little bit?
Absolutely, I think so. And you know, there's something to be said for, there's more camaraderie fostered. You have no choice but to be with each other. And it's not to say that the guys don't interact with each other when they're at home, or they go out to team dinners, or, you know, they go golfing together and whatnot, things along those lines. But when you're on the road, you don't have a choice. You have to do that. And so I think that breeds a lot of camaraderie. It breeds a lot of togetherness. You have meals together, you travel together, you're doing all of these different team activities together, and then you're playing. And you hope that that turns into maybe some better chemistry on the ice, or maybe it turns into, you know, a rallying cry to get back into the swing of things here. It's been tough sledding at home, and last weekend was unfortunate. I think the way that you described it was bittersweet, because Saturday night, NASCAR night, was one of the most electric nights we've had. The amount of celebrities we had in the building, champions, race winners, 21 different drivers. I mean, it was phenomenal. It was absolutely incredible. We had our entire ownership group there to be celebrated and to celebrate with us. And, you know, unfortunate that we couldn't get the second point, certainly got one, but Coach Mountain's not here for moral victory, so it's a building block. But at the same time, I think that's a game that his team knows that they could have gotten that second one, and now here's hoping that they start a string of getting both of them up for grabs here tonight against the Cyclones.
Talk to me a little bit about your take on what happened last weekend, because these were great hockey contests, both of them, really tightly contested games. Friday night comes down to a late game. We end up in a shootout on Saturday. A team you don't have a lot of familiarity with, a team you haven't seen in a very long time. None of the boys on the roster have played against Reading before. What was it that separated this team between two close losses and maybe gutting out a win or two?
It was special teams. It was absolutely special teams. That was the biggest takeaway from the weekend. Was special teams just wasn't where it needed to be. You know, you look to game one, you're down 3-0 on two power play goals and a shorthanded goal. You come back with a 6-on-4 power play goal, a standard power play extra attacker with Jacob Ingham pulled, and then you get another 6-on-5 extra attacker goal. And it was desperate hockey at the end. The last 6 minutes, the Swamp Rabbits flat out owned it. And if they played like that the entire contest, like Coach Mountain had said in our pregame the next night, then who knows how that game goes. You're also playing against a Reading team that's in a dogfight for that fourth, fifth spot in the North Division. By the end of the weekend, Reading had won 5 in a row. They were on a 6-game point streak, absolutely smoking red hot. So they had all the momentum and everything playing into their favor. The second night, you have a 2-1 lead. Power play goal ties it. You can't get anything else going in the third period with 5-on-5 offense. You put 40 shots on net, but how many of those 40 shots were quality chances that absolutely made Keith Petruzzelli's life a living hell in net? And so then you go to the overtime. You have a chance to win it on the power play, 4-on-3, all that open ice, and just didn't challenge enough. And then you go to the shootout, and it's a 50-50 coin flip because it's a skills competition. So I think the biggest takeaway hockey-wise of the weekend was it was special teams. And the power play's great. Don't get me wrong. They scored in 4 in a row. Matches the season high, most consecutive games, the power play goal. They've scored in 6 out of the last 7 games, but the penalty kill, unfortunately, just wasn't there. And so that's part of what this team needs going into this road trip.
This is a team, and I had the opportunity last week in the office to talk to a couple of the guys. Got the opportunity to talk to them a couple around the rink on Friday and Saturday last week with an incredible night of games lined up. They were doing some community outreach, which I obviously always think is great. And I think what stands out to me when you have conversations with the fellas on the team in the dressing room, outside, whatever, man, like, you can tell this team is not, I don't want to use the word disappointed, Mark Benetti. It feels like they're angry. Like, they are not happy with the results they're turning in. They're not happy with the results that they are getting. They feel like, and I will always take a team that looks itself in the mirror and says, we're better than this. Let's get it fixed. And I wonder if that attitude, combined with being out on the road in multiple hostile venues over the next couple of weeks, maybe that's the catalyst to kind of find the rhythm that they want to be in.
It certainly could be. I mean, this is a team, too, that also realizes, yes, they can play better, but at the same time, you've got 34 games left. Is it time to absolutely start smashing the panic button? Not necessarily, but time, very similar to when you're down 2 and there's 15 minutes, 10 minutes to go. Time's not necessarily your ally. So you've got some work to do. This is a great way to turn the page on it and look at this basically as a 6-game series, right? Or really a 7-game series because there's 7 road games. We keep forgetting that Atlanta is the week after we're gone for 2 straight. So you look at this 7-game road trip mentally like it's a 7-game playoff series, and you just have to win all of them, or you have to win the vast majority of them. Go 5-2. Go 4-2-1. Get points in 5 out of 7. If you can take all 7, that's phenomenal. But you know, you've got to compartmentalize the season now into some segments here. And I think with 34 games to go, this is a perfect reset. You've got 2 opponents in front of you that you haven't seen, that you don't normally won't. You got Cincinnati once, Indy twice, then they're done. And then you've got the 3-time defending champion staring down the barrel next week. So it's going to be tough, but you've got to compartmentalize it and find progress with 34 games left, knowing that if you go on a run and a couple of the teams in front of you start to falter, you've got a shot. I mean, Rob, you and I know better than anybody. We've been watching sports how long combined in our lifetimes. This is the time of the year where teams either start to get scorching red hot or freezing ice cold. And there seems to be no in between. So why not go on a run? Why not catch the lightning and start it tonight?
Without a doubt, Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. We talk Bits hockey every Wednesday at 8:40. So what is then, Mark Benetti, what is the message from Kyle Mountain to the squad with a Wednesday, Friday, Saturday this week, a Wednesday, Friday, Saturday next week, and then that Thursday game in Atlanta before we come back to the crib? You're looking at seven straight roadies. What's the message from Mounty to the fellas, and what are your realistic expectations for this swing?
So I think, again, compartmentalizing the road trip, let's start with the latter side of that. My expectations are this team is going to prove to the Cyclones and to the Fuel why they play in the toughest division. Why, when you're staring down a diehard Atlanta, when you're staring down the defending champs in Florida, a scrappy Orlando, a skilled Savannah, South Carolina, all these different opponents, and Jacksonville, which still doesn't ever seem to go away. This, we play in the toughest division, and we're going to show you the next three nights why the Central is not nearly as strong as us. We play a better style of hockey. We play a tougher style of hockey. We're going to show you that. And that's where that's the message. It's prove why we still have a shot. Prove why we are as good as we say we believe we are. And start taking it to Cincinnati with a forecheck, with good special teams play, start bearing down defensively on the penalty kill, and finish everything. Finish everything. No flybys. Make sure you make contact, because keep in mind, too, we're not playing 3-3. You just pointed out, we're playing Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. There's a little bit of breathing room between games here, so you can play hard, not worrying about, ah, dang, I got to play the next day at 4 o'clock. Oh, man, I got to play the next day at 1. You know, let's keep this momentum going. You can go all out tonight, take tomorrow to recover, watch some film, prepare, regroup, and then Friday go right back to it again with back-to-backs. And so I think that's the message, is play tenacious, show why we're in the toughest division, and I think the expectation is going to be that we're going to prove it why. And, you know, you look at a Cincinnati team that's got a lot of challenge ahead. They're 10-5-1 since the break, and they started 0-6-3. They didn't get their first win until game 10. They came into the Christmas break with 5 wins, and they now have 15. So this is a team that's really feeling it right now, winning 10 out of the last 16 games. And, you know, they've got a power play goal in 5 out of their last 7. Their penalty kill a little suspect. They're on the upswing. They've gone 100% the last 2 games after giving up a power play goal in 5 straight. So there are pockets where the Swamp Rabbits team can execute and find a way here tonight to start things off on the right foot.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. The Bunnies on the road for the next couple of weeks. They play tonight against Cincinnati, 2 on Friday and Saturday against Indy. Then it's a 3-game set against Florida on Wednesday, Friday, Saturday next week. A Thursday nighter in Atlanta. And the Swamp Rabbits return home February 15th for Stick It to Cancer Night. We will tell you more about that night, a night that we will celebrate those that are fighting and honor the memory of those that have moved on. An incredibly powerful night, one of my favorite nights of the year to celebrate. And we'll talk more about that as we get closer to that February 15th showdown when the Bunnies return to the Well to take on Savannah. Mark Benetti, my guy, I don't know what you're doing in Cincinnati, Ohio, but I wish you the best doing it.
Eating Skyline Chili, Rob, by the way, or nope. Trying to find Joe nope. Burrow as well to shake his hand.
Nope. Skyline Chili's awful, and I will not allow you to promote it on the show as if it's anything else.
Listen, the second part, though, he said he was going to try to find Joe Burrow. He should do that.
I respect that.
Don't go into his house uninvited, because people already did that.
See if Joey B will give you a ride in that big-ass Batmobile he built, and then we're good. But don't you promote Skyline Chili like it's good, Mark Benetti.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's there, and sometimes it's an only option, you know?
I've said that before, many a Friday night mistake, bud. Yeah, that's the correct response.
Yeah, that silence is perfect.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. My bud, stay safe on the swing, pal. We'll see you back at the Well on the 15th, dude.
Yes, sir. You got it. Thanks for the time today, Rob.
As always, Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Denton Day talks college and NFL football on Sirius XM. He'll be joining us in the next segment to talk college and NFL football. Lonzo's going to talk all the sports now in this Sports Flash.
That's a wonderful tease, by the way.
Thanks.
One of your best. The South Carolina Gamecocks fell to 0-8 in SEC play with a 71-60 loss on the road at Georgia last night. The Gamecocks shot 41% from the floor, but were just 4 of 17 from 3 and turned the ball over 17 times. That's not good. The only players who reached double digits were Colin Murray Boyles with 18 and Jamari Thomas with 19. The rest of the team scored 23 combined. There's only one NFL team remaining without a coach, but they'll have one less option to fill that position. Former Dallas Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy indicated yesterday he will sit out the 2025 season, canceling a meeting with the New Orleans Saints scheduled for later this week. McCarthy is expected to return to the sidelines in 2026. Tune in today at 5:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Samford Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Samford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.